we've reached a point in society where I think most people accept and believe, and certainly this government believes, that equality for same-sex couples should just be a matter of course.
Circumstances strange, create a new range of possibilities.
My brother's been elected the mayor of Dollsville, my hometown.
Maybe, maybe one of these days, love will make sense to me.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon.
And I'm Lucia Chappelle. British Columbia seeks marriage rights while New Zealand considers divorce equality.
Mum's the G word at Australia's Uniting Church Assembly.
And new queer music by a butch, a folky, and a balladeer.
All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Brian Nunes.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 22, 2000. The Canadian province of British Columbia is asking a court if marriage licenses should be issued to same-gender couples. Qualifying for a marriage license is almost the only legal distinction remaining between heterosexual and same-gender couples in BC, which for several years has been passing legislation to equalize them. Provincial Attorney General Andrew Petter believes it's discriminatory to deny the licenses to gay and lesbian couples. He also believes that, in the light of recent rulings, the courts may reject the current federal common law restricting marriage to one man and one woman. The national group EGAL, Equality for Gays and Lesbians Everywhere, welcomed the move as the first time a Canadian government has ever expressed the view that same-sex couples should have an equal right to marry. EGAL is filing its own lawsuit to the same end. EGAL's Equal Marriage Committee Chair, Laurie Aaron, said, "The exclusion of same-gender relationships from marriage speaks volumes. It sends a loud and clear message that our relationships are inferior, are not worthy of the term marriage. This hurtful message must change." Speaking for BC's opposition Liberal Party, Barry Penner said, "The new Democratic Party provincial government has always failed in the courts," and added, "I suspect this is an NDP political ploy that is geared towards scrounging up political points before they go to the polls." The Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Vancouver maintained that while the courts could try to play word games, they cannot change the underlying meaning of marriage as between a man and a woman, an institution in which children are born and raised.
Division of property on dissolution of relationships was the subject of parliamentary committee hearings this week in New Zealand. The government has proposed a bill that will treat unmarried couples of 3 years standing, both heterosexual and same gender, exactly the same as married couples for this purpose. Currently, same gender couples do not have access to the courts to determine division of assets when they break up. As gays and lesbians noted in testimony, they've also lacked standing as next of kin, which has allowed blood relatives to contest the wills of gays and lesbians who left their property to their same-gender partners. When it was decided to hold more hearings on the Matrimonial Property Amendment Act, the bill went to a committee chaired by openly gay Member of Parliament Tim Barnett. A conservative group called Catholic Action, which is not officially recognized by the church, called for Barnett's removal from the chair, saying his sexual orientation represented evident bias and manifest prejudice on the issue.
In Australia, the issue of ordaining gays and lesbians so divided the Uniting Church that its triennial National Assembly decided to set the issue aside. A decision had been expected at the meeting 3 years ago, where 10 clergy, including a national leader, came out as gays and lesbians, but the issue then was left unresolved. This week's assembly determined it would operate by consensus, no mean feat for a group of about 280 delegates, and it became clear in the very earliest business that wouldn't work for sexuality issues. First, one delegate tried to block the seating of two representatives of a church gay and lesbian network as non-voting associates at the assembly, forcing a majority vote that accepted them. Then another delegate refused to accept a committee report that promised support for full inclusion of gays and lesbians in the church, finding it contrary to ex-gay's decision to forswear what he called the homosexual lifestyle and against his own belief in Scripture. a proposal not to consider any proposals relating to sexuality at this assembly was hotly debated but ultimately passed by a close vote of 137 to 116. This leaves a very murky status quo in place for the 1.3 million member Uniting Church. In theory, sexual orientation per se should be no bar to ordination, and while sexual conduct may be considered in the overall assessment of a candidate, the standard of celibacy in singleness and faithfulness in marriage is expected but not required. That's the theory, but in practice, no open gay or lesbian has ever been ordained in the denomination. On the other hand, those who came out after their ordination, including those with same-gender partners, have never been disciplined.
Also remaining unpunished is Pope John Paul II. After the pontiff called World Pride Roma 2000 offensive and insulting to Christian values and repeated that homosexual acts are against the laws of nature, a gay and lesbian group in the Netherlands filed an incitement to hatred complaint against him in Amsterdam. This week, the public prosecutor's office dismissed the complaint, saying that as head of the Vatican State, the Pope has universal legal immunity. Henk Krol and the Friends of Gay Krant are now looking into possible actions by Netherlands diplomats or under international law.
U.S. federal authorities began a preliminary investigation this week into a murder in West Virginia which may have been hate-motivated. According to a 15-year-old witness and their own confessions, two 17-year-old Caucasian boys beat and kicked to death African-American gay J.R. Warren. They then tried to disguise the crime as an auto accident by running a car over his body several times. Both suspects have been charged with first-degree murder, but because they are minors, all proceedings are sealed from the public. Local authorities do not believe this was either a racial or a homophobic crime, but civil rights groups who came to investigate the situation are convinced it was both. Marion County sheriffs had already invited their local FBI agent to monitor their work. But this week, Warren's family and representatives of several civil rights groups met with top Department of Justice officials who decided on a preliminary investigation by the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office. That investigation will determine if further federal action can be taken. Warren's family joined activists in a rally in Washington, D.C., calling for passage of the Hate Crimes Prevention Act. That bill would greatly expand the circumstances in which federal authorities could become involved in hate crimes investigation and prosecution, and would add sexual orientation, gender, and disability as protected categories in federal hate crimes law.
Hate crimes and anti-gay harassment were the subject of two reports issued by the U.S. Department of Defense this week. One was the Inspector General's report on the command climate at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where last year Private First Class Barry Winchell was bashed to death by another man in his unit as he slept. The trials of the killer and an accessory revealed that Winchell had been the object of anti-gay harassment on a near daily basis for 4 months before the attack. But the Inspector General cleared every officer on the base of any responsibility in the matter. All blame was laid on an abusive first sergeant who has been removed from his duties. The lieutenant over him knew there was a problem and counseled with the sergeant, but the lieutenant was working alone while four other positions were unfilled. The Inspector General didn't have much access to information from gay and lesbian soldiers, though, because he had announced that he would move for dismissal of anyone whose homosexual orientation was revealed in the course of the investigation.
Yet the second report promised to hold the military hierarchy responsible for anti-gay harassment as well as violations of the so-called Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Such accountability has not yet been put into practice in the 7 years the policy has been in effect. This report contained recommendations from a top-level all-service task group to prevent anti-gay harassment and abuse. They roughly paralleled the military's successful approach to racial integration. Chief among the 13 recommendations was expanded training at every level regarding the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and the importance of respectful behavior regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation. The task group chair admitted it wasn't easy to extend respect to someone whose identity was unknown.
The NBC sitcom Will and Grace, the first network series with an openly gay male title role, led all other comedies in the Emmy Award nominations announced this week with a total of 11. Will and Grace was named in every major comedy category except writing, including Best Comedy Series and nominations for all four of the lead and supporting actors.
And finally, Martina Navratilova has been inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame, where the display in her honor is called Martina the Magnificent. She is simply the winningest professional tennis player of all time, including 167 singles titles and 165 doubles titles, including 18 Grand Slam events. She was ceremonially introduced to the Hall of Fame by her former coach, transsexual Dr. Renee Richards, who called her a true freedom fighter. Navratilova's own speech to friends, families, and 4,000 adoring fans included an explanation of how she had to keep her lesbian orientation a secret because it would have barred her from gaining U.S. citizenship after her defection from then Czechoslovakia. But now, she promised, I will continue speaking out on behalf of gays and lesbians until we have equal access and protection under the law. Also, in her long list of thank yous to those who helped her, she included not only her dogs, but even all the girlfriends who suffered through all the matches in the stands, wherever they are.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 22, 2000. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Brian Nunes.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
There are no maybes about the passionate places and unique circumstances strange explored by lesbian, gay, and trans musicians these days, and Jeff Krasner, Dave Hall, and Amy Simpson will prove it later in the program.
Queer rights have been on a roll in Canada for more than a year since the Supreme Court mandated that governments must treat same-gender couples the same as heterosexual common law couples. Since common law couples have virtually identical rights to married couples in most parts of Canada, the right to marriage itself is one of the last remaining battlegrounds. Activists have been strategizing on the marriage issue for many months, and one case has been in the works in Quebec for a couple of years. But the campaign really took off in mid-May when activist attorney Michael Leshner and his partner Michael Stark applied for a marriage license in Toronto. Rather than reject his request, the city decided to ask an Ontario court for a ruling on whether same-gender couples should be allowed to marry. A hearing in that case is scheduled for late August, and other lesbian and gay couples have filed for licenses in New Brunswick. The latest development in the saga comes from British Columbia, where the provincial government has become the first in the country to join in. With production assistance from Tatra Street, This Way Out's Heather Kitching reports.
Judy Lightwater and I have been together for about a year and a half. We're both verging on middle age. We're old enough to know what we want in the way of a relationship. And when we met, we knew we wanted long-term, monogamous commitment, basically marriage.
Cynthia Callahan and Judy Lightwater are getting married on July 29th. On May 26th, they applied for a marriage license, and accompanying them were at least half a dozen members of the media. They didn't expect to get a marriage license, and they didn't. But they also didn't expect this.
The decision that we made was, rather than deny a license in a way that might violate the rights of the two women who were seeking to get married, the better course of action was to go in front of a court and see if we could persuade the court to allow us to grant that license.
That was the Attorney General of British Columbia, Andrew Petter. His government has just filed a case in the Supreme Court of British Columbia seeking permission to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. It's the first time in Canada that a government has affirmed the right of same-sex couples to marry, and Andrew Petter has been outspoken in his support. In an interview with Tether Street of CFUV's Girls' Night In, he explained what prompted him to launch the case.
A few months ago, a same-sex couple came forward and sought a marriage license from the director of Vital Statistics. And at that time, the director deferred his decision because he was aware of recent case authority that had said that discrimination against couples on the basis of their sexual orientation was contrary to the Charter of Rights. And he sought advice from my ministry. The advice that's come back from my ministry suggests two things. First of all, that the issue of defining marriage is a federal responsibility, and that the common law that defines that relationship holds that the relationship is limited to couples who are of the opposite sex, a man and a woman. But the advice then went on to say that in light of some of these recent cases and the Charter of Rights interpretation, it may well be that a court, given the opportunity, would overturn that interpretation and allow a same-sex marriage to now occur. And that's what this action is all about.
Why are you doing this? Why do you think it's important?
Well, I think it's important for at least two reasons. One, obviously, is a legal reason. We have a constitution. The constitution guarantees every citizen in this country a right to equality. The courts have said that means equality for same-sex couples as much as it does for opposite-sex couples. And I think that when we act, therefore, as a government, we need to do everything in our power to respect those rights. But the second reason is a more important social reason, and that is we've reached a point in society where I think most people accept and believe, and certainly this government believes, that equality for same-sex couples should just be a matter of course. If marriage is a good enough and worthwhile enough institution that it is looked to positively by those who favor marriage between couples of the opposite sex, then it should be good enough and worthwhile enough to be available to couples of the same sex. And in particular, if marriage can help respond to concerns about breakdowns in family and increase social stability, then I think it's in everyone's interest, not just same-sex couples, to make that institution available to those who want to avail themselves of it, regardless of their sexual orientation.
The provincial government's case names two couples as interested parties. One is Cynthia Callahan and Judy Lightwater. The other is Murray Warren and Peter Cook, who filed a human rights complaint against the provincial government, having themselves been denied a marriage license 18 months ago. The couple were present at the press conference July 20th when the Attorney General announced his court case.
Peter Cook and I have lived in a loving, supportive relationship for the past 29 years because we had been denied a marriage license, and based on Section 81A of the BC Human Rights Code, that specifies that a person may not deny to any person or class of persons an accommodation, facility, or service generally available to the public based on that person or class of person's sexual orientation. We felt that we had been discriminated against and therefore filed a human rights complaint against the Minister of Health.
The couple's lawyer, Barbara Finley, is not as sold on the AG's court case as Cynthia Callahan and Judy Lightwater. She calls the move a mixture of bravery and cowardice, saying the Attorney General has the power to issue marriage licenses under existing law.
In our view, the Attorney General is already legally obliged to issue a marriage license. Licenses are services and facilities customarily available to the public.
But Attorney General Andrew Petter does not feel that he has the power to issue a license.
The way that the law works in this area is a bit complicated. But it basically comes down to this. The actual law with respect to the definition of marriage is a federal law, in this case a federal common law requirement. So the province doesn't have the power to change that law, much as we might like to. So really the only choices that were open to the director was to either deny the license pursuant to that law, or to go forward and seek the court's declaration that that law has been overtaken and is now to be revised to bring it into line with the requirements of the Charter. That wasn't a decision the director could make unilaterally, but it is a decision that he would be able to act upon should the courts agree and grant a declaration to that effect.
Marriage license or no marriage license, Cynthia Callahan and Judy Lightwater have a wedding to plan.
I'm wearing a pale yellow silk dress, and it's quite simple. Judy's wearing like a silk vest and silk pants and a plain white shirt. We'll have flowers everywhere, and we've ordered matching tablecloths and napkins that we're renting, and we've rented chairs and tables, and, you know, there's a lot of details to getting married. It really is.
For This Way Out, I'm Heather Kitching in Vancouver.
I dream such dreams, ones where boy gets boy and girl gets girl. Seems to me we're all just victims of anatomy. Can't they see this is a crazy world? They're always saying this world makes no sense how they
Hello, I'm Bruce Valanche. When I'm not writing for the Oscars, appearing on Hollywood Squares, or lounging at Sky Bar with Bette or Whoopi, more olives, girl, thank you, I'm listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. Please do stay tuned.
Any stereotypes you still have of butch dykes, folk singers, and romantic balladeers are bound to be shaken up by the new CDs featured in this month's edition of Audiophile.
I got an idea in my head and I can't let go. I got a feeling in my heart, baby, it's good as gold. I have to start over, be a bit more bold. Will you whip a malady? Chivalry's not dead, it's just old. Suspected the night to be torturous, aware that I might not even get one kiss. But you know as well as I do that I'm the world's biggest masochist.
In terms of writing my music, it would never occur to me to try to temper it so that it could be more palatable to a straight audience. I write from the heart, and I'm out. Butch, to me, is not just my sexuality, but it's my gender identity, and that means that I'm neither just all female or all male, and it's just a third gender.
Amy Simpson's candor and pride in her identity come through with a passion on her debut CD, Circumstances Strange, produced by women's music veteran June Millington. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm Pam Marshall, and you're listening to Audiophile. Circumstances Strange is a lively roller coaster ride through the ups and downs of relationships with Amy Simpson's unbridled intensity and unique perspective.
Circumstances strange create a new range of possibilities. Expectations deranged, hearts still caged, wants new compatibilities. Non sequitur thought pattern, a new language canned over, it ain't what it seems. Too lazy prior to write about fire, could only imagine my dreams.
I am a amalgamation, is that even a word? of a butch, dyke, sensitive, straight, fag, silly 12-year-old / 6-year-old / 31-year-old adult.
For more information, check out amysimpson.spinrecords.com.
Musician and storyteller Dave Hall takes the listener along for a cross-country journey on his latest CD entitled Places.
My brother's been elected the mayor of Dollsville, my hometown. He wants me there for the big party, and I don't want to let him down. Maybe I should go back.
The Mayor of Dullesville is lovingly based on sort of a composite of a couple of brothers of mine, and this is a song about, you know, arriving home and seeing how well you fit in or don't.
Dave Hall's down-to-earth folk style brings a fresh perspective to real-life situations.
We bought a present, we circled our date, now we pack the car, we're heading upstate. We're in a hurry, don't want to be late, we're going to a wedding. The weatherman says it's gonna be warm. There's no threat of a thunderstorm. The guests and the honeybees all gonna swarm. We're going to a wedding. Biff and Tony's wedding.
Poetry is important to me. I work really, really hard on my lyrics and try to get them so that when the finished product is presented, that the words are not only beautiful, but serious and thoughtful. I think my music is for thinking people.
If you want to know more about Dave Hall, check out this website, www.giuseppejoe.com, or call 888-844-9308.
Jeff Krasner is back with an upbeat mix of dance music and romantic ballads with heart and soul on his latest CD, Maybe.
It's music.
music, it's songs. It's not just riffs. They're actual songs that start someplace, go someplace, and end someplace. In fact, I wrote them the same exact way I wrote all the songs on Strong For You, but this time around we produced it a little differently. We did a much more 2000 type production where we used electronics and samples like that.
The title track of Krasner's CD Maybe was featured on the soundtrack of the film Trick.
Well, maybe, maybe Monday. Maybe, maybe Sunday. Maybe, maybe one of these days. Love will make sense to me. Well, maybe, maybe Monday. Maybe, maybe Sunday.
Jeff Krasner's vibrant and well-produced CD is called Maybe, but in our opinion, there are no maybes about it. You can find out more by contacting Identity Records at identityid@aol.com.
And that's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at our new address, P.O. Box 429, Sunland, California, 91041. Or online at info@audiophile.org. That's info@audiophile.org. This is Chris Wilson.
And I'm Pam Marshall. Keep listening.
Maybe, maybe Monday.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Brian Nunes, Chris Ambidge, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Rex Walkner, Martin Rice, Heather Kitching and Tatra Street, and Chris Wilson, Pam Marshall, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Michael Kellen performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music.
Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by grants from the Gill Foundation, the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, and by Planet Out. From designated contributions by Uncommon Clout Visa card holders who've chosen This Way Out, and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world.
For audio cassette information, or with any questions or comments about This Way Out, please email us at tworadio@aol.com, visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And please be sure to include the call letters of this station.
Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on multimedia, then on radio.
This Way Out is produced by Lucia Chappell
and Greg Gordon, and we thank you for listening on KSUA Fairbanks, Alaska,
KRUX Las Cruces, New Mexico,
KFAI Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota,
and more than 100 other stations around the world,
including this community radio station.
And everybody's going to stay tuned.